I'm Bill Radke. Glad you're listening. I'm joined now in the studio by Congressmember Susan DelBene, who represents the 1st District of Washington. So that's parts of King, Snohomish, Whatcom, Skagit counties up to the north. Welcome.
From here all the way up to the Canadian border.
To the border. Yep. Thanks for coming in on this May Day.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So here we were just talking about this, all these demonstrations for immigrant and workers' rights. Are you going to be on the street today, anywhere near them? What are your plans?
I won't be downtown, but this is an important conversation. Immigration reform, since I've been a member of Congress since 2012, we've been talking about the importance of immigration reform. It's incredibly disappointing that Congress hasn't acted yet. We need comprehensive immigration reform. We agree on both sides of the aisle that we have a broken immigration system, but there has been many bipartisan efforts, and it's disappointing that we've never been allowed a vote on immigration legislation, let alone passing legislation to protect Dreamers, something that's very bipartisan.
Yes.
Put it on the floor and let us vote. And I actually think we'd pass legislation that would make a big difference.
Well, there is a bipartisan proposal in the House to bring 4 separate immigration bills to a vote, Republican and Democrat, different proposals. And the one that gets the most votes would advance to the Senate. Will you vote for that idea?
So it's called the Queen of the Hill.
Yes.
And the 4 bills would come to the floor, and the one that gets the most votes then comes back to the floor to be voted on. And so definitely, I think that anything that gets bills to the floor really will be good progress, because it requires members of Congress to actually vote and be accountable and talk to people what they agree with or disagree with. And we have bipartisan pieces of legislation that I'm on 2 of those bills that I think would make a huge difference and that we could get a lot of support for.
But what if the one that gets the most votes, what if the Queen of the Hill is, say, a Republican bill that only gives temporary 3-year status to DACA recipients, reduces annual immigration by 40%, eliminates the ability of citizens to sponsor family members, parents, adult kids, brothers, sisters? Would that be a good outcome if that's the queen of the hill for you?
Then I'm going to vote no on that. And many of my colleagues will vote no. In the end,
but that would you not prefer the gridlock that you described to that outcome?
I think that we haven't seen the opportunities for bipartisanship to move forward because bills are always prevented from coming to the floor. And there's bipartisanship. There's a bill that Congressman Aguilar and Congressman Hurd put together that I'm on. It is bipartisan. They've had bipartisan support and been bringing people together on both sides. Those are bills like that that I think have broad support that could move forward. But we're not going to know if we don't give folks the opportunity to vote. And I think that we could make a big difference that way. If there's a really bad bill, I think that we're going to see folks vote against it. And they could move those bills forward today without the Queen of the Hill if they wanted to. They could only move a really bad bill forward. This way, all the bills get to be considered.
Here's President Trump talking yesterday about weak and deadly immigration laws.
I have called on Congress to close deadly immigration loopholes that are exploited by terrorists, traffickers, and criminals. Just look at our southern border and our weak and obsolete immigration laws. They are obsolete, and they are weak, and they are pathetic. And there's no country in the world that has laws like we do.
So he's calling on Congress to close deadly immigration loopholes. What loopholes is he talking about?
I think it's always hard to know when he uses so much rhetoric what specifically he means. We need to pass comprehensive immigration reform, and Congress needs to act. This is something we've needed to do for a long time, and the more we wait, the more urgent the issue becomes. When I first became a member of Congress, I helped introduce a bipartisan comprehensive immigration reform bill. I think it would have passed if we had just been allowed a vote.
It would have done what?
It would have addressed all of our issues. It would have addressed Dreamers. It would have addressed border security. It would have addressed
legal status for Dreamers?
Seasonal workers, legal status, okay, and path to citizenship. It addressed all those things. It was a bipartisan bill. The Senate had passed similar piece of legislation in the Senate. We never were allowed to vote.
Would you vote for President Trump's border wall if you could trade that for permanent legal status for people who were brought here as kids?
I think we need to do responsible immigration reform, comprehensive immigration reform.
But would you make that trade?
But I don't know what that trade is because I don't know specifically what you're talking about. But I would.
Well, you know, some Democrats have said that they refuse to fund a border wall in any way. But the president has said, it goes back and forth, but has said, you say you want permanent legal status for these so-called dreamers. This is how you can do it.
And the president has never been specific on what he would really do. He talked about this with respect to dreamers and deferred action for childhood arrivals or DACA, and that never turned into anything on his side either. So I think this kind of constant attempt to really politicize and be demeaning when he talks about immigration reform isn't what's going to help us move forward. We need Congress to sit down and put together responsible legislation.
Okay.
And we need to pass in the House and the Senate. And then the president will have to make a decision on whether he signs that or not.
Again, this is Congressmember Susan DelBene, who represents Western and Northwestern Washington State, a Democrat in Congress. And here's what some people think of Congress. I've heard this for my whole life. This is happens to be comedian Michelle Wolf at the White House Correspondents' Dinner over the weekend.
And just a reminder to everyone, I'm here to make jokes. I have no agenda. I'm not trying to get anything accomplished. So everyone that's here from Congress, you should feel right at home.
I think Will Rogers used to make that joke about 80 years ago. First of all, funny?
Well, I think, unfortunately, it's true that things have not been getting done. And when you're talking about immigration reform, just letting the legislative process work, letting us have a debate on bills in committees, letting committees make decisions and moving legislation forward, having hearings. We had a big tax bill. We didn't have a hearing on that tax bill beforehand. We got a bill just right before we went in to mark it up in committee, and we got a bill that we hadn't had a chance to see. Frankly, a lot of Republicans hadn't had a chance to see, and it was jammed through the House. It's a terrible way.
So maybe Congress should do less because they should be more deliberative.
I think we should actually sit down and talk about issues, understand the impacts, bring experts in, bring people from different parts of our community to talk about the impacts a particular piece of legislation would have on them. And let us consider this and debate and have a healthy debate, sometimes agree to disagree, and move it forward. And in the end, let members vote. Because votes make us accountable for the decisions we make. We explain to folks why we might have voted yes or voted no. But by doing nothing, we don't solve any problems. And we leave many things unanswered and folks able to say they support and don't support something at the same time.
Oh, yes. Now, you're a Democrat. This is what that comedian Michelle Wolf said about your party.
But I also want to make fun of Democrats. Democrats are harder to make fun of because you guys don't do anything. People think you might flip the House and Senate this November, but you guys always find a way to mess it up. You're somehow gonna lose by 12 points to a guy named Jeff Pedophile Nazi Doctor. Oh, he's a doctor.
Democrats are losers. Is that fair?
I think that we are doing incredible work listening to people across our country, really talking about the important issues that we should be talking about, things like immigration reform, like economic opportunity for people across our country, about an economy going forward. What are the jobs of the future? How do we make sure we're prepared for the future? How do we make sure that our children are getting the education they need, that we provide workforce training, that we build an economy on clean, renewable energy and understand the changes that are happening in our climate? Actually looking at data and facts and science, it's incredibly important that we move forward on these issues. And these are things that I'm very passionate about. And I know many of my colleagues are passionate about. We need to make that case to people in our districts and across the country. And we also have to make sure that people have the opportunity to vote. We've had, you know, districts that have been drawn to be very partisan across our country. We need to make sure that people's voices are heard and they get out and vote. And that will make a difference, I think, in Congress and definitely make a difference this coming election cycle.
Well, here's an example of what Democrats themselves are debating internally. I promise this is the final comedian, a case of a comedian. This is Bill Maher on his HBO show also criticizing Democrats as being, this time, too timid.
Just like the Democrats' position on coal. Love it. Had some for breakfast. And guns. I love the Second Amendment, too. They're afraid to make the counter-argument. Republicans, they're all claws and sharp teeth and fangs when they fight. The Democrats, their weapon of choice is adaptive coloration.
He tells that joke because it gets a laugh, that somebody recognizes some truth in that. You are part of Congressmember DelBene, part of the House, new Democrat coalition.
Yes.
Is just even calling it that an attempt to address this issue that the Democratic brand is weak right now?
No, and the new Democratic coalition has been around a little while. So,
yes.
But it's really about...
What's new about it?
We want to make sure that we're talking about where we're headed, about economic opportunity, about the willing to sit down and work with others and actually get things done. I represent a swing district. Our redistricting commission said it was designed to be the most evenly divided district in the country.
Yes.
So every political point of view possible is represented in my district. I get to hear feedback, which is, I actually think our politics across the country would be a lot better if we had a few more districts like mine.
Yes, up to the Canadian border, as we said.
Up to the Canadian border, a lot of agriculture,
yep.
Technology, and yet... I have an incredible opportunity to hear feedback and connect with people and hear different points of view and have to balance those and weigh those when I make a decision on a piece of legislation.
Well, mostly I associate the New Democrat Coalition with pro-trade. I think of it as a relatively centrist type of organization compared to the Bernie Sanders, Cory Booker, Kirsten Gillibrand wing, who just, for example, proposed an FDR-style program of guaranteed jobs for all. We've heard about government-paid health care for all. Democrats, go bold. Where are you on those two issues?
Let's try things. I'm a big believer in pilots. I think that we should see what's working and what's not working and adapt. So let's look at where the future is taking us. I introduced legislation on portable benefits. We want to make sure that people have access to benefits, whatever type of work they're doing. And we've talked about the gig economy and the changes that are happening there. So let's try some things. Let's have programs where we have pilots where people try and we can see what works, what doesn't work, or what circumstances influence outcomes.
Single-payer health care?
And use that to understand, to inform, and use that to inform federal policy. We've talked about, could you let people buy into Medicare, for example, as ways to allow people, a public option, make sure that people have that opportunity. Those are things that we would learn a lot from and help inform where we might go in the future.
So maybe not getting rid of private insurance, but having Medicare for more or
right.
All
people would have
more of an option.
Yeah, I think having a public option gives people that opportunity to make a decision about what they think is best for them. And if it's very successful, more and more people will make that choice. But we need to learn and try. We have a lot of dialogue. But when I talk about hearings and debates and moving and actually moving legislation, part of it also is learning and trying and being able to be innovative from a policy standpoint, because we're still catching up to yesterday in policy. We're not looking forward. And I think that's a missed opportunity.
Another example, speaking of Senator Gillibrand, Booker, Sanders, Elizabeth Warren as well, and California Senator Kamala Harris announced this week all of them are rejecting corporate PAC money. Will you follow their lead on that? And I, Susan DelBene, will not take any corporate money, PAC money.
PAC dollars right now that people take are Political Actions Committee. These are employees. These are individuals. It's not dollars from companies. It's dollars from people who work at organizations who collectively labor, and others have Political Actions Committees and give to candidates too. So,
well, there's an Amazon PAC that you take $2,500 from. Do you feel any conflict about that?
Those are people. Those are people. They were set up. These are not companies it's not corporate dollars, it's employees, et cetera. But, I'm open and very supportive of campaign finance reform because we should have that. I think Citizens United moved us in the wrong direction. I think that disclosure is important. I've sponsored legislation to overturn Citizens United, the Disclose Act, to make sure that we do a really good job of Make sure there's transparency so you know where those dollars are coming from. In those ads that you see, they're always from some organization like Americans for Good Things.
Yes.
But you don't know who's behind it. So let's make sure that's clear, because that will make a huge difference in people understanding where the information's coming from and kind of the point of view that they're bringing to the table. But we need reform. We absolutely need campaign finance reform.
Again, this is a member of Congress, Susan DelBene, a Democrat from the 1st District. You were at Microsoft for a dozen years in a senior leadership level. Some former employees are complaining about gender discrimination, sexual harassment, a culture of casual sexism, and a male-dominated hierarchy. What was your experience at Microsoft?
Well, I think traditionally the technology industry definitely started out as very male-dominated. And it was a harsh culture. It was, you know, whoever was loudest kind of won the conversation.
Was it sexist?
I think definitely there were not as many women, and it was a difficult culture and environment for women. So there was a lot of work to be done, and still is. We've heard about this not from any one company. We've heard about it across the board, and frankly, I think it's true a lot across many different sectors of our economy. That's why we have the ongoing conversation about equality, about making sure that everyone's voices are heard, that people have a chance to speak out when they've been mistreated.
Well, I'm curious, what do you think people don't know about what it's like to be a woman and an executive at a tech company?
I think that my experience is a while ago now.
Yes.
Understanding that.
But you represent Redmond too, right? I imagine.
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
You talked to Microsoft.
I represent Redmond up to the Canadian border, yeah. But there, my personal experience is a while ago.
Yes.
But nonetheless, women, you know, when you're in a meeting and you say something and then 5 minutes later someone else says the same thing, but people only hear it when a man says it, when there aren't necessarily equal opportunities for women to move forward into management positions, whether it is someone doing that directly or indirectly. Those are places where women have faced discrimination in the workplace. Equal pay for equal work, we're still fighting for that. Women still make less than men across the board, across the board in our economy. And so these are ongoing efforts. Congress, 20% of Congress is women today.
Mm-hmm.
We should have more. And in fact, I think we have more women candidates running across the country than ever. And so we may see many more women in Congress after this next election. And that would be a great change and help make a difference.
We'll see. We're all interested in what happens this next election. Congresswoman Susan DelBene represents Redmond, and she represents Mount Vernon, among many of the cities in the 1st District. Thanks for coming into the studio and talking with us.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
It's The Record on KUOW Seattle. Back in just a moment.